Mark chapter 7. This is another interesting one. Boy, the book of Mark is packed full of stuff. Amen. It's wonderful. But today, what we're going to look at, I'll try to give you just a little preview so you'll see as we go through here. Going through life, there are things we deal with that are natural things. Natural things meaning just the mundane things of life, just caring for things, you know. Our houses, unfortunately, you fix something, they don't stay fixed for long, it's going to break again, amen? The car you drive, as new as it is or old, whatever, doesn't matter, at some point, something's going to fail mechanically. These are natural things built in. The weather, for the most part, is natural. Sure, there can be some supernatural things that go in to alter that a bit, but for the most part, we're talking natural things. Just the things we deal with through in and throughout lives, the society, work, on and on, just family things, all that. For the most part, we look at those and they're natural things. Natural things just really, for the most part, need a natural answer. Natural issues, natural problems, natural answer works just fine. And then there are things that are problematic, but for them to be fixed, it'll take a supernatural event, meaning something outside of nature, outside the natural course of things, needs to come in to change it. That is a supernatural thing. And so you as a Christian need to be able to discern between the natural and the supernatural. Now, you can pray for help from God, for God to help you in the natural things. And I praise the Lord that He does. Amen. He strengthens us, empowers us, gives us wisdom of mind to be able to respond correctly and all these things. And He will help in that. But this message today is not addressing that as much as when we need a supernatural help from God to address something that only a supernatural hand can fix. Something outside of the natural realm to fix it. That's what we're going to look at today. Mark chapter 7 and in verse number 24. The Bible says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." We're in Mark 7 now, verse number 26. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out," hallelujah, "and her daughter laid upon the bed." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this just beautiful, wonderful scripture passage, God, that you've given for us today. I pray that it would be a help to all of us, Lord, in our lives. Lord, every one of us at times come up against something that's supernatural in nature and origin, and we just need a supernatural help from above. And God, you've given us a pattern here, which we're going to look at, God, that will enable us to tap into that supernatural side of help, just like this lady did here for her daughter. And God, I pray you'd bless today in a great way, God, just to bind the enemy, Lord, keep him out from this place, keep him from hindering, help each one to be able to tune in. And Lord, help us today with this, just the hearing of the word of God today and the message thereof. Speak to our hearts. Might the Holy Spirit of God have free course to take the word and administer it to us, we pray. And we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep something marked here in Mark 7. And then Matthew 15 is a sister passage to this. And I do want to read that one today. We don't always do this, but today we will. So we're going to flip back and forth a little bit between Mark 7 and Matthew 15. And we'll see the synoptic gospel account of the same thing that we just read here in Mark 7. We'll find it here in Matthew 15, beginning in verse number 21. Now, as you're turning there, understand that the order of the events that we see progressing through Mark is that same order that we'll find in Matthew as well. There are some things that kind of jump around a little bit. This is not one of those. So if you recall from the previous messages, Jesus, his disciples, are on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. in that area. And then in this text, now we see them heading over to Tyre and Sidon. That's going to be a little bit northwest, all the way kind of to the coastal area of the Mediterranean Sea, sometimes referred to, in the Bible, it's referred to as the Great Sea. Same thing, Mediterranean Sea, Great Sea. And so we're going from the Sea of Galilee kind of over to the other, a larger body of water, the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And so we're going to find, though, this is very interesting, that Jesus and his disciples, they'll leave where they're at. They'll make this trip up. It's about 4 or 5 miles. Now, to you and I that have vehicles, that's not bad. They're walking, amen? And a 4 or 5 mile walk each way, that's a little bit of time. And note this, they'll go, this will happen, and then they'll turn around and go right back. And so it's like what Jesus is doing. He's kind of showing us something here. And he's taking time out from the time with the children, as it's referred to here, because there is a woman, a Greek woman, who needs something from God. And I believe she's been praying. I believe she's been seeking God. And the Lord Jesus himself is going to make that trip just because she's been asking God for something. Amen. Because as soon as this is over, and I know it says he's looking forward to some rest, but we don't see him resting, amen. He went up there and right around hightailed it right back, and we'll pick that up next week when he gets back to the Sea of Galilee area. So in this text, we do believe this to be the details, how it's working, how it's transpiring. Let's look now at Matthew's account, chapter 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So we see a little more detail about her. And cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Other passage said, unclean spirit, here, devil, same thing. Verse number 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Again, same thing we just read up in Matthew 7. It's a different account, but it's about it's concerning the same series of events here. Now, we see again initially Jesus going up here to get some rest. That never takes place. There is a woman up there, and that's exactly who I believe he went to see. Now, from the leaving of the Sea of Galilee, the crowds did not follow him this time like they had before. It's different. There's something else going on. The crowds will be there again, but it'll be when he gets back to the Sea of Galilee. Notice how this woman approaches Jesus. As we discern in our lives a need that we have that only Jesus can help us with, meaning it's supernatural in nature, there's going to be some details that we pick up here from this woman that we can follow as well if we are going to make requests to God for a supernatural intervention into our life or a life of a loved one. In this case, this is not primarily for the woman, but for the woman's daughter. And she engages here in an intercessory mode, beseeching God for her daughter's sake. So notice how this woman approaches Jesus. Look in Mark 7 in verse 25 and Matthew 15 verse 22. The Bible says in Mark 7, For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. So the way that she approached him in that text is a worshipful manner. She recognizes his position. She recognizes that he has an ability that she does not have. She actually recognizes him, we'll see, as the Son of God. And so when she approaches him, it's in a humbled manner. She's falling at his feet. Very important, amen. It says the woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And so she's approaching him. She's keeping some things in mind. She knows who he is, but she also knows who she is. Amen. In Matthew 15, verse 22, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." She understood that her daughter had an issue that she could not solve. It's not something for us just to cast out devils, amen. It's not something God has given to us to be able to deal with the spiritual side like this. But she knew, she had heard of someone, and she believed that Jesus is one that could actually help, amen. And so she sought a supernatural solution to her supernatural problem through a supernatural person named Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, she seeks him out. She did not wait for him to come her way. Now, in a sense, he did. He came the majority of the way. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of similarities here in reference to our salvation. Can I say, salvation is a supernatural issue, and it will demand a supernatural action take place in our lives. Nobody can naturally save themselves. Nobody can find a natural solution to their supernatural problems. Many people try. Some people think, if I just join a church, then I'll be right with God. No, that's a natural solution. I'll just get baptized and then I'll be made right with God. No, that's natural. That's easy for you to do. Go through some baptismal waters. I'll just be a good person. Nope, in your own mind, you're going to do what you think is good. That's natural. That's you doing good works from your perspective. And I know the Bible says there's none good, but we oftentimes think we do good things. And those good things we believe are worth something, right? We hold a door for somebody and we expect to hear. We want paid. And if we don't get paid, we get upset. Well, that person didn't even say thank you. That's your reward. You held that door and you're looking for a response. That's your reward. It is a natural thing you've done and you're looking for natural payment. You go work a job, you want some natural payment. Right? Give me some Benjamins here. I just did some work for you. I'm expecting to get paid. See, that's an expectation. But in reference to salvation, people wrongly think that they can somehow get a supernatural result through a natural means. Doesn't work that way. Amen? If you're going to be born again, which is a supernatural event, it's only going to come about through a supernatural means. Amen? It's not in us to save ourselves. It's not in man to be able to deal with his spiritual issue. Sin is a spiritual issue. We can't even deal with our own sins naturally. A lot of times we think we can. I'll just do better this time. That don't work, does it? You can't deal with a supernatural issue of sin naturally. Is this making sense? So we have to identify what a natural issue is and what a supernatural. You need help tying your shoes? That's a natural thing, not a problem. We'll help you tie your shoes. Amen? Or just get some Velcro ones, slip-ons, amen. Or just learn to tie your shoes. You know, some people today don't even know how to tell a clock that has hands on it. Is that weird? If you're one of them, if you turn around, you'll see a clock back there. I'm so glad you can't tell what time it is. Amen, during this service. That's awesome, that's awesome. But you really should learn. And by the way, you can learn naturally. You don't need a supernatural help from God to be able to tell the time. He's equipped you already to be able to do that. It's natural. Amen? So discerning between what's natural and what's supernatural is vital in reference to this message, in reference to life. Amen? Well, salvation is supernatural. A natural means to deal with your sin issue is impossible. And God spells that out. We need a supernatural means. Only Jesus saves. Well, Jesus is supernatural. He lives outside the natural realm. We're looking for God, who's outside of nature, to enter into our realm and do a supernatural work in our lives. This woman was looking for God, who was outside of nature, to come in and do a supernatural work in her daughter. Amen. She could not naturally, no little oils would help. No little incense would help. No little incantation would help. Not enough Facebook posts will do it. Amen. There's nothing. There's not some little magic potion mixing that guy. No, she was vexed with a devil. Amen. And nothing's going to help naturally. I'm sure she tried it. So how do I know it's a supernatural problem? You exhaust all your natural means. And it's still there. And God's showing you, yeah, this is beyond you. That's supernatural. You need a supernatural solution for that to be solved. Amen? Well, this woman's daughter was vexed. She needed a supernatural solution. How did she seek out the Lord? First off, she sought him out. Supernatural solutions don't just come our way. We need to seek them out. Nobody gets saved like walking down the street. Oh, man, what was that? I think I just got saved. No. It does not happen that way. It's not, man, it's a good night's sleep. Man, I'm different now. I think I got saved while I was sleeping. No, it doesn't work that way. Not even a John Denver experience. They're looking out and, whoa, look at that night sky. There was a shooting star. Man, I must be born again. No, you're still lost. Does that make sense? Supernatural solutions don't come our way just by accident. We must seek them out. Amen? So we see that with her. She sought a supernatural solution, but she sought it out properly, God's way. Amen? She didn't just wait for it to come. She sought it out. And she cried out as she got close to the supernatural one that could help. Amen? And she said, have mercy on me. Meaning, I don't deserve this. God, I do not deserve a supernatural help from God. But I'm asking you, in spite of my position, in spite of who I am, I recognize the only way I'm going to get help is from you, and I'm not deserving of it. But God, I'm asking you for mercy and unmerited favor. I don't deserve your favor. I don't deserve your grace. But I'm by mercy, just have pity on me. Understand that without you, I will not be helped. So I'm begging you, if you will. And that's how she sought the Lord. By the way, she then even gives the issue she came. She knew why she came. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. We don't seek God generally for supernatural intervention. No, we don't seek God generally. You can pray generally in a sense of, God, you're wonderful. I thank you for your part. I thank you generally. Thank you generally. All those things. But when you're seeking a supernatural intervention from God, it's specific. You know what you're seeking. And so when you come, you approach properly and you cry out for mercy. You're undeserving, asking God for an unmerited favor, a grace to be applied. You don't deserve it. And you understand that in doing so, you know exactly what you're asking for. It's specific. Amen? Now, what was Jesus' response? She came right. She came right. Amen? You would think, she came right. Jesus is going to be like, oh, here you go. That's not what happens. And there's a reason for this. Watch this. In Matthew 15, verse 23. Let's look at Matthew first, her response. But he answered her not a word. Don't you hate that? You ever feel that way from God? You seek God out and it's like it didn't get through. It's like just brass. Say, why? Is my life not right? Is something? No, it just might be just that silent time, amen, that we need to go through. So at first he answered not a word. And then his disciples This is so interesting, amen? They said, send her away, for she crieth after us. The other believers around there, they didn't understand. They're like, remember, they went there to get some rest. The disciples have been trying to get rest for a long time now, and they keep trying, it never happens, amen? And we know how that goes. And so they just want to get some rest, send her away. And so people don't understand. And so get this, this woman has to endure these little roadblocks along the way. This issue has to be so important. By the way, in reference to salvation, some people say, I want to be saved. And then they're like, man, I'm just too busy. Well, then apparently you don't want to be saved all that bad. Right? I want to be saved, but I don't want to have to read the Bible. Well, but that's where you find the words of God. This is where you find what God says about it. Right? So somebody says, I want to get saved. I went to one service. I want to keep coming. Sometimes you need to be under the preaching for a little while and let God speak and really deal with your heart. Amen? You know, I want to get saved, but my work, I gotta make a living. I get it. Yeah. But I don't know if it's really that important to you. Maybe you'll alter your schedule a little bit. Amen. Does that make sense? But the point is that every time we go to God seeking a supernatural solution for our problems, mark it down. There will be all these things that start happening that in a sense are keeping us from staying the course for that supernatural solution. It might be, I'm not hearing anything from God. I don't know about you, but there's been some supernatural issues that I've been praying for a long time, and I still ain't got the supernatural solution. Amen? And it seems like the norm is, there's nothing. Does that make sense? Sometimes I'm seeking a supernatural solution, and then the brethren, amen, kind of make light of it. They kind of like, it's no big deal. And that's here. So all these things start to happen. But guess what? This woman, she kept on with her issue. She kept going to Jesus. She kept approaching him. She did not let these things detour her at all. Verse 27 of Mark 7. Same passage for the most part says, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. And it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In verse 24 of Matthew 15, he says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so here's another issue. I mean, Jesus, in a sense, said to this woman, you're just a dog. You're not important in this. I'm sent to Israel right now. I'm sent for that purpose. And that's true. Jesus, when he was initially sent, he came to Israel. We really don't see the gospel like open up like this unto the Gentiles until Acts 10. The Jews hadn't yet fully rejected Jesus Christ, which would come. And so we know that that hadn't happened yet. And so what Jesus is saying is right. But you know, sometimes when we seek a supernatural solution for our issues, we get offended by how God talks to us about it. Amen. There are people that come to God for salvation, and the first thing they hear from a well-meaning saint is, you're a sinner. Don't you realize you deserve to die and go to hell? Don't you realize that? And a lot of times when a lost person hears that, they're like, phew. You just think I'm a sinner. Yeah, that's right. You just think I'm no good. I should just go to hell. Well, yeah, that's exactly what the Bible says. That in your current state, that's what you're kindling. You're just kindling. That's it. I'm sorry that's it. I'm sorry it hurts your feelings. But the reality is that when we come to God, usually the first thing we hear from God does hurt our feelings. On purpose. Because it's going to discern you to see how serious you are about a real solution to your real problem. Amen. By the way, we live in a day of offense, don't we? You could say to somebody, I hope you have a good day. And they'll be like, what do you mean by that? You trying to hurt my feelings? What, you think I'm not having a good day? Are you insinuating something here? No, I really just hope you have a good day. I'm sorry. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the day that we live, this day of offense. Amen. Well, the woman needs to get past the offensive stage or she'll never find that solution. By the way, when Jesus spoke to this woman, she said, if that's what you think of me, I'm out of here. Would her daughter have been healed? That's what most people do all the time. They recognize I need a supernatural solution. They recognize it can only come from God. And then they get around people like us, maybe, amen, that we've been described as being kind of alpha in the sense that we just believe God's word. You're right. You're right. So does Jesus. That's how Jesus approached things. His heart was right. Would you agree? His heart was right when she said, I'm sorry, but it's not meant for you. You're just a dog. It's meant for the children. I know that sounds offensive, but it wasn't meant to be. And sometimes we can sound offensive. But I've said before, how do you tell someone in a nice, unoffensive way that they're a sinner heading to hell? How do you do it? So what many churches have decided is we're going to stop telling people that they're a sinner heading to hell. We're going to be nice to them. Is that being nice? No, it's not being nice. Being cruel. They still have the condition. They're still heading to hell. Now you're just not going to tell them. See, this, the world today in this young generation, even kind of creeping into the older crowd, amen, they expect that we have to come to them and we have to frame the answer in a way that they like it. And if you don't, you don't like them. No. Faithful. Are the wounds of her. I'd rather have someone that would tell me the truth. And someone's just going to kiss me and say, hey, it's all going to be okay when it's not. And so this woman was at a crossroads. She had to make a decision. She had to make a choice. Is Jesus really the only answer to this solution? And she'd already determined it. Yes. And so in her own mind, no matter what he says to me, no matter how he says it, no matter how my feelings are jumping out trying to act, no matter anything, I need him. So she stuck with it, even through the offensive stage. Now, Jesus' response, we see the woman's serious, but Jesus' response will actually vet whether or not the woman is serious or not. When we're looking for a reason to turn away from somebody, do you know that you'll always find it? Offenses are easy to find. That's why we got to be very careful. If you want to find something wrong with your spouse, you'll find it. If you want to find something wrong with your pastor, that ain't hard. You'll find it. If you want to find something wrong with your children, oh, yeah, you'll find it. If you want to find something wrong with your parents, you'll definitely find it. Right? All those things are there. If you want to find something wrong with society, that's there. Everywhere. It's not hard to find, but you have to decide internally first where you fit in this thing and then head down that direction God is leading. And be careful about offenses. Because an offense, what an offense does is this, it builds a fence around you. When you take an offense, you isolate yourself from that person or those people or that thing. That's what an offense does. Could this woman afford to build a fence between her and Jesus? Not if she wanted her supernatural issue helped. Does that make sense? And we're so easy to build a fence around ourselves and think that we're everything. No, we're nothing. Does that make sense? And if you just build a fence around you, and that's all you got to work on now, you're in trouble. You are in trouble with a capital T, because we don't have what it takes to navigate this life. We need God. And by the way, we need the right a group of God's people around us that God has put us in the midst of. By the way, you need your family. You need those people. So if we take offense, all we've done is isolated from ourselves, from those that God has given to us to help. In this context, the spiritual help that this woman needs is Jesus Christ. Amen? I was just thinking through this thought, and I wrote down a couple of things. You know, when we understand that turning away is not an option, then we work through things. We work through problems. We even work through potential offenses. I thought about this. I thought, you know, when divorce is an option in marriage, a couple will not work hard on their problems. Right? They won't. But when divorce is not an option, then they will seek to set aside offenses to work through the issue. If in your heart and mind as a parent, giving away your kids or kicking them out of the house at a young age is not an option. Some of your parents are like, I'm working through that right now. Thank you for mentioning that. Amen. Can kids say offensive things to parents? All the hurtful things? Oh, they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And what they say, it's like, man, that felt great. Appreciate you. Thanks for your ministry there. We get this out. Ugh, got it. Right? We feel that way, don't we? But because as parents, kicking them out isn't an option when they're 3. Or 13. Then as parents, we learn not to take offense. Right? And that enables us now to still have a relationship and help, right? Guide them through that time. So, very important. By the way, this is true of church, of ministry. If potentially, could an issue ever arise at church? Yeah. If your thought is, I'll just find me another group to go meet with. If that's your thought, that's what you'll do. But is that going to help you? No. Working through issues always helps people. Amen. So, by the way, a job. Who gives us the jobs that we have? Hopefully when you're looking for a job, you're praying. You're asking God to lead you and guide you, and you get that job. Do you think the right answer is always, that's it, I'm leaving? No. If God gave that job, you can't leave until God gives you a different one, right? But even still, you want to be very careful, because meddle not with them that are given to change. We can't just keep jumping around. We can't in life. Because that permeates our thought process, and ultimately, we get upset when we don't hear what we want to hear from God. A lot of stuff we hear from God hurts. A lot of times we don't want to hear God's response to us. When we go to God with a real issue, God turns it back on us and says, they're not the only one that has an issue. I think you got one too. And we don't like that. We get offended by how God speaks to us. But when we do, we isolate ourselves from the supernatural answer. Look over at John 6 real quick. Keep your mark there in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7. And Jesus was speaking in John 6. And in John 6 and verse number 60, he just taught on a very interesting topic and said some things that were really hard to grab hold of. And he says this in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? By the way, that question can offend somebody. You're talking to someone you can pick up. They're starting to get offended. You say to them, oh, I'm sorry. Are you getting offended at this? What? I mean, that could send someone right off the chart of offense. Amen. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did with these people. They could tell, man, they're murmuring about it. They're getting raw. And he says, oh, does this offend you? It says, if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. By the way, what was the reason he said that? There were some that didn't believe. Do you know what unbelievers are prone to? Offense. And so, like it or not, God says a lot of offenses to vet whether or not we really believe or don't believe. He says a lot of offensive things to us to see where our heart is towards him and towards others. So if you're prone to offense, you got an issue with God. You got an issue with God's word. You got an issue with God's direction for your life. You got an issue with things. And that's the issue. Amen. I believe that's what God's saying here. Amen. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that we're given him unto him of the Father. Verse 66. From that time, many of his, what are those? Whoa, what's a disciple? One who's following the teachings of another. From that time forth, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You mean people got offended at Jesus? That's what it says. And what did it say about them? They're unbelievers. Notice, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, right? Where are we going to go? You have supernaturally what we need. There's nobody else. What Peter didn't say, you didn't offend us. No, he said, it doesn't matter how I feel right now. All this doesn't matter. Here's what matters. I know you are the Son of God and that you have what I need from a supernatural perspective. I can go nowhere else. I'm stuck with you. I'm stuck on you. I am not leaving you because of that. Do you see that? This is what happens when you and I get some conviction about knowing what God's doing in our lives, right? When we have that, now it's not, I'm here because I like it. I'm here because I want to. Now it's not, I'm here for this or for that. Not a natural reason. I'm here for a supernatural reason. It changes everything. I'm at this church for a supernatural reason. Amen. I'm approaching God for supernatural things. He is the one I'm praying to. That's why I'm not praying unto some other God, because there are none but him. Does that make sense? It's supernatural in nature. And because of that, natural things aren't going to keep me from the supernatural. Why would we let a natural thing keep us from a supernatural answer? Why? Why would we take offense over a natural thing when it's not a natural solution we're seeking? It's a supernatural. Amen. Verse 69. And we believe that thou, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Look back at our text. The woman's response. Mark 7, verse 28, Matthew 15, verse 25. Mark 7, verse 28. She answered and said to him, yes, Lord. What? Yes, Lord. She just agreed that she's just a dog. Amen. And that she doesn't even deserve him to help her. But he reasons with her. I'm sorry, she reasons with him. She says, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Wow. The humility in this woman is wonderful. Look at Matthew 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, you're right. What you're saying is right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What a heart. Oh, that we all could tap into that heart right there. And can I say, this is what it's going to take. If you're ever and I'm ever going to get a supernatural help and answer from God, it's going to take this posture. Not, God, don't you understand? I'm a child of yours. I deserve your help. I'm sorry, you're not going to get the answer. That's not how we approach God, even as a believer. Someone says, in reference to being saved, you know, me and God have a deal worked out. No, you don't. Not unless you've accepted his deal. Amen. I've talked to the man upstairs, up off the table. If you're already that disrespectful, that's not what I'm seeing here from this woman. Does that make sense? You know, I've said this prayer and all that, and I know this. When I get to heaven, God's going to accept me. It doesn't matter what I do now. That scares me. Just a little bit about that person's heart and attitude towards God. Is this making sense? This woman's heart and attitude towards God was total humility. God, you're everything. I am nothing. And even with a potential offense, you're right, Lord. You're right. I am no better than a dog under the table. But you know what? Even they get to eat the crumbs. God, could you at least give me some crumbs? Have mercy. What was Jesus' response? Verse 29. He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. This woman just revealed to us what it takes to cross over from the natural to the supernatural in solution. If you want a supernatural solution, then you're going to have to seek it in this way. A way that defies the natural. This is what's so profound in reference to spiritual truth. Spiritual truth is never gained naturally, and we hate it. It's always gained supernaturally, meaning it goes against our very core and our nature. Natural solutions do not solve supernatural problems. If you want a supernatural solution, you're going to have to seek it in this way. This is true of issues that, like our text. This is true of every issue. By the way, the devil in their daughter was a supernatural issue. It's a spiritual issue. How easy was it for this woman to move Christ to action? How easy was it for this Greek woman, this woman of Canaan, how easy was it for her to get Christ to act? Let me ask a different question. The whole time, could Christ have acted? Sure. The whole time, did he have power to remove that devil? Yeah. He could, all he has to do is speak the word. That's it. He speaks, things are created. He speaks, things are changed. People are changed. He speaks, it happens. He speaks, the devil has to listen. He speaks, the wind has to listen. The rain, the wave. He speaks, the trees have to listen. The fig tree. He spoke, no more fruit, withered up, died. He speaks, everything in his creation listens. To the point that instant change, instant effect. He spoke and that whole legion of evil spirits, of devils, had to listen. Do you see that? This whole time, he could have spoke and none of this would have happened. How easy is it for us to gain a supernatural response from God? It's hard. Do you know why it's hard? Because nature stands in our way. Everything natural stands in our way of getting a supernatural response. Is the actual action hard? No. Us getting that. There are some people that have wanted to be saved for decades and still aren't. Why not? Because the action of saving someone is easy. But few there be that what? That find it. They got to first be interested enough to seek it. And then they have to not be offended when Jesus calls them a sinner worthy of hell. And they have to still be willing to beseech him in a humbled way. Can you get saved in pride? No. The Bible says that everyone that's in pride, God will abase. Right? And in James 4, it says that it's only by humility. No one that's proud that comes for salvation will receive it. Isn't that crazy? There's a way to approach God for him to move supernaturally. And this woman just showed us how it is done. Amen? I want to give you just a real quick list summarizing this text, and we'll be done. Number one, how do we tap into the supernatural today? Seven-step solution based on this text. How do we tap into the supernatural today for a solution to our supernatural problems? By the way, if you're lost, you could follow this. If you're saved and there are things in your life and those around you, for this woman, it was her daughter, that a natural solution isn't gonna work. This is it. This is the pattern. Number one, identify your supernatural issue. Identify it. With this woman, it was her daughter who was grievously vexed by a devil. That's the issue. Need help. Number one, identify your supernatural issue. If you're lost, your supernatural issue is you need saved from your sin. Ain't gonna happen physically, but there is a supernatural issue. And resolve. Number two, look for the supernatural solution. Okay, here's the supernatural issue with salvation. I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm heading to hell. What is my solution set? What can help me? You boil it all down by the scriptures, there's only one person that can help. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's actually called salvation. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other solution. Supernatural issue, I'm lost. Supernatural solution set, only Jesus can save me. All right? By the way, you could plug that into any other supernatural issue as well. Number three, we need to seek out the supernatural solution with all of our heart. We have to seek it out. Where are we going to seek it out? Where God's told us to seek it, in his word. In his word amongst God's people, right? It's okay to have someone guide you through the word. The Bible talks about that, amen? Acts 9, and with the preachers and with the church being the pillar and ground of the truth and the reason that the elders of that church were given, right? In reference to instruction and leading in these things. So you got the supernatural issue, you got the supernatural solution. I got to seek it out. Where am I going to seek it out? In the means that God said seek it out, it's in his word. I'm going to seek it out through the word of God. Number four, when offenses seek to derail your gaining the supernatural solution, fight them off with steadfast determination. By the way, can doubt be a natural thing coming in to derail your seeking of a supernatural? Yeah. Yeah, because if you doubt, you're damned, the Bible says, right? He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. An offense can derail it. Doubt can derail it. A hurt can derail it. In your own mind, you know, discouragement can derail it. Discourage means no courage. What happens when you lose courage? You don't go forward. If you're not going forward, you're not seeking. Does that make sense? All of these things, naturally and in a sense supernaturally, because the devil's going to be behind the scenes, the enemy trying to bring these natural things to you to derail you, all of these things are going to attempt to derail you. which is going to vet your true belief in whether or not Jesus can and will send you that supernatural solution. Amen? By the way, as Christians, when we're talking to someone about salvation, don't make it so easy for them to get saved. Parents, don't make it easy for your kids to obey. Allow there to be some opportunity for them to do wrong. God does that with us to see where our heart is. Otherwise, your kids get out. They've never been exposed to that. The devil's going to have a heyday with them. They need to experience that. Experience disappointment. Experience it under your tutelage. God does that with us. So, when offenses seek to derail you gaining a supernatural solution, you need to stay steadfastly determined. Number five, when given an audience with God, speak. Make your request known. When you finally get to that place with God, tell God exactly what you're looking for. If you're lost, what do you need? I need saved. Tell him what you're looking for. God, please save me. Something else. What this woman said, my daughter is vexed with the devil. She needs help, her Lord. Get rid of this devil. It's specific. When you get to that place where you have God's audience, tell him what you're looking for. Say, I don't know what I'm looking for. Then you're not ready to seek a solution. Specifics. Number six, when everything comes together as God ordained, as God spoke and made happen, the supernatural solution will be granted. Trust that when all of this comes together and he speaks the word, the supernatural solution's done. In other words, it's not for me to do. It's not for nature to do. The supernatural solution is all God. Reference to salvation. When we ask God to save us, who does all the work? God does, and he saves us. A lot of times we want to help people out to act like they're more saved. No, you can't do that, amen. It's all God. They either got it or they didn't. Amen. And then number seven, go see the results. That's what she did. She went back, went home, was looking forward to see what God did. And sure enough, she busted in that door, got home, and her daughter no longer had a devil. Amen? Seven steps there, I believe that this passage teaches. Amen? Thought. Because this woman was not offended at the initial response of Christ, she ultimately received help from God. How many times do we get an attitude because the initial response we receive from someone or God himself isn't what we were looking for? And then we get derailed. We get disappointed. We get discouraged. We get tired. We don't hear an answer back from God quick enough. And so we start doubting whether or not we should have even sought God in the first. All these things are just there to derail you, to see how serious you are about gaining that super. By the way, what a blessing that we can even have that intervention in the first place. Supernatural God. And it doesn't happen for many, but it can happen for you if you'll follow this pattern. Amen. God, thank you for today. And I thank you, God, for this time together. This kind of slowed up a little bit and just kind of made this plain, but there's so much here, God, in this text. What a beautiful pattern that you gave us here, God, for finding a supernatural solution to our natural, within the natural day that we live, to the supernatural problems that exist all around us. And so, God, I pray that we would be encouraged, God, through this message, God, that we would see, God, that we can't be derailed. God, if you've truly given us direction to seek you for a supernatural a solution and involvement in our lives, God, help us not to be derailed, for if we do, we won't see it, God. We won't see the answer. We won't be able to see your handiwork. You speak the word, God, even in reference to salvation. God, so many people come and they say that they want what you have for them and that they want to be saved. God, their soil's just not ready. And they're not willing to allow the time with the Word of God for you to prepare their soil, God. They want it now. They want it on their terms. They want to do it their way, God. And God, you never give a supernatural solution to someone like that because they're still controlling it. It's still in their pride. They've not been humbled. They're offended potentially by your word. They're not wanting to come your way. They're wanting to come their way. God, help us with this message today to see, God, just like with Peter in reference to the disciples in John 6, that many of the disciples in that day left off following because they were offended. Peter and the 12 there said, "Where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You are the Son of God." And they stuck with him. God, help us to be in that same case, Lord, where we have nowhere else to go. All of our eggs are in your basket. God, it's you or none. And so we choose you. Oh, Father, help us today with this, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads, my eyes closed just for a moment. The pianist is going to play.